Okay, good evening, Chevra. Hope everyone is doing well. Hope Judaism is going okay for you. All the important things. Okay.
Wait, what does that mean? What does it mean for Judaism to be going okay for me?
I mean, the former president of YU, Dr. Belkin, used to meet students in the elevator and he would say, how is your Yiras Shamayim doing today?
Okay.
So
That's what you're referring to.
I think Judaism going well for you means that
I still don't.
means that you're in the process of growth and your Yiras Shamayim is increasing on a daily basis and important things like that your Limud HaTorah, your Yediyas HaTorah. Should I go on? Is this
Oh,
like
no, I got the picture. Thank you.
okay? I just needed to clarify. Okay, so basically, Rachel, by the way, has been trying to arrange some perhaps minor tweaks in this year moving forward. So you should be in touch with Rachel in terms of trying to maybe have the share later at night on Tuesday. Perhaps I'll give a longer Seder for people, tell people prepare. In theory, I'd be happy giving out Makoros earlier. The only thing is, I sort of need a reminder. The way I work is, I wake up in the morning, I look at my phone about what I have to do that day, and then I process stuff. So, whatever. Okay, Chevra.
Sorry, just on that note, could I ask when would a reminder be appreciated? Because I don't want a reminder to be like annoying or like pushing
Yes, it would
anyway.
be. Early Monday mornings, probably. That type of thing. Well, again, if you want Mikoros on Monday, I guess early Monday morning, I try to get them out Monday morning. Alternatively, if I don't get them out then, if I have them by Monday afternoon, that's also better than Tuesday. All right, that's the basic question. Okay, Batya Stein, how are you?
Good. Hi.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay, just making sure. Okay, Zuck the Gemara, we are on Zayin Amid Beis, and last time we learned, if you remember, we encountered the Shita of Rabbi Yoshia. That Rabbi Yoshia tells us that the halachos of walls have the same status as the halachos of Schach, at least for one halacha, which is the din of chamasa meruba mitzilasa, right? The schach has to be that it provides more shade than sun. If there's more sun than shade, so it's invalid as schach. Says Rabbi Yoshia that hu hadin, the walls have to be more shade than there is sun, and he learned this from a pasuk. That the pasuk says, "V'sakosa al ha'aron ha'saparoches," that the paroches, which is a mechitza, we use the expression "v'sakosa," that it should overhang, it should be like a sukkah. That teaches me, says Rabbi Yoshia, that a mechitza has the din of schach. The mechitza has the same status as schach, and therefore cannot be chamasa meruba mitzilasa. And last time we learned, we had two ways of reading the Tosfos as to whether all the other halachos of Schach apply to the walls within the position of Rabbi Yoshia. Meaning, right, there are halachos that Schach has to be something that grew in the ground, right? Are we going to tell me that if it didn't grow in the ground, it's puzzle as walls of the sukkah, that would be unusual. That's the position that we noted the Mordechai quoted. But whether Tosas agrees with that is the shiur that we had last week. And then the Gemara, and I believe we began this conversation last week, the Gemara notes that there's a bunch of people who all say the same thing, which is that they all hold that sukkah is diras keva. They all hold that a sukkah has to be some sort of permanent structure, some sort of significant structure. or a way to learn to live in a keva, in a fixed sort of way instead of temporary. What I'm trying to say is that if you look at Rashi, Diras Keva, Rashi comments that Diras Keva means Ru'uya lehishtamish kavua v'nireis kabayis. Rashi is basically saying that there are two definitions of Keva. There's what I would call the structural definition of Keva, that it looks like a home as opposed to something that looks temporary. And then there's also the usage definition, that Keva means that I can use it in a more regular way as opposed to only using it in a temporary sort of way. Both of these definitions are true, but some of the people that we'll see in the sugya adopt the keva in the sense of the structural sense, and others use keva in the sense of the hishtamshus, of the way the sukkah is used. And as we'll go on, we'll try to plug in each shita as to which definition of keva they're using. Okay, so let's go. Amar Abaya, Rebbe, Rebbe Yashia, Rebbe Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Gamliel, Beis Shammai, Rabbi Eliezer, and Acherim. I didn't count, I think it's 8, no? All of these different people, Kohu Sirluhu, that Sukkah Diras Keva Be'inon. They all hold that a Sukkah has to be Keva. What are these positions? Rebbe, the Tanya, Rebbe Omer, Kosuka, She'imba, Arba Amos, Arba Amos, Psula. Rebbe says that a sukkah has to be 4 amos by 4 amos, roughly the equivalent of 7 3/4 feet by 7 3/4 feet. That's Rebbe Yehuda. That's what Rebbe says. Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi says it has to be dalet amos by dalet amos. Which definition of keva is he using?
Structural?
Probably the structural one. In other words, the halacha is that we had on Daf Dalet that a bias by definition has to be Dalet al Dalet, right? We spoke about how a mezuzah is only placed on a bias. That has to be Dalet Amos by Dalet Amos. Even, so what Rabbi Yehuda is saying is a sukkah has to be a bias. What Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, excuse me, what Rabbi is saying is that sukkah has to be a bayis, has to be dalet amos by 4 amos. That is the structural definition. Rabbi Yashia Hadamaran. Rabbi Yashia is what we said before, which is that according to Rabbi Yashia, there cannot be sunlight that gets through the sukkah walls. How does that tell me anything about keva?
Transparent walls, especially in the ancient world, could not have been from sturdy material.
Okay. Right. So one approach, and this is what Tanya Singh is actually the parish of the Rimul Nil, says it like that, that the only way you'd have something transparent is if it would be very flimsy. And as such, Rabbi Yashia is saying the structural definition of keva. Alternatively, it could be that if the wall is transparent, you can't really do anything inside it, no? People don't like living in a fishbowl, right? Everyone is staring at you. So it can't be the hishtamshus of keva. Again, Rashi doesn't comment on Rabbi Yashia. The Rimul Nil says he's talking about the structural definition because it has to be flimsy in order to be transparent. But I would say the Hishtamshus definition could also work within Rabbi Yashia. If I remember correctly, last time when we learned, Sima pointed out already that this read of Rabbi Yashia is different than the previous sugya's read of Rabbi Yashia, right? Last week we learned Rabbi Yashia based on mechitzos have to be kischach, and only according to the first definition of Rabbi Yashia, the mechitzos kischach, could I have a conversation that maybe if the mechitzos are made out of something that is puzzle for schach, it's made out of metal, it's made out of something that didn't grow from the ground, whatever, only according to that definition would be true. According to the Diras Keva definition, that would not be true. So the Gemara, for some reason, is switching within Rabbi Ashiya, right? Or our Gemara is saying that an outgrowth of Rabbi Ashiya's Shita is that it has to be Diras Keva. I don't remember how much we got into it last week, but if the halacha would be based on that you need mechitzos kischach, so then l'cha'ora, that would be a halacha b'chal ha'tayra kula. That every area of halacha, when you require mechitzos, something transparent would not work. Yeah, I think we did say it last week, right? In other words, a mechitza in shul and a mechitza for Shabbos. But once I say the diras keva definition, so then we're limiting Rabbi Ashiya only to hilchos sukkah. Rabbi Yehuda, what's the shita of Rabbi Yehuda? Shita number 3. Ditnan, the Mishnah says, a sukkah shigavo lamayla mechaf ama psula, Rabbi Yehuda machshir. A sukkah over 20 amos is puzzle, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, is kosher. So Rabbi Yehuda says it's kosher. Why? Diras keva. Right? Now, let's go back for a second. Why does Rabbi Yehuda say a sukkah over 20 is kosher as opposed to the Tanakhama who says a sukkah over 20 is puzzle? So our Gemara is using the approach of Diras Keva. Nachon? Go back to Beis Amud Aleph. Beis Amud Aleph, why is it that a sukkah over 20 is puzzle according to the Tanakhama? So there were three different opinions on Beis Amud Aleph. Right, the Gemara begins Minahani Mili, right? It's like 8 lines into the Gemara. Minahani Mili, how do you know that sukkah over 20 is puzzle? So Rabba says it's from the pasuk of Roman Yed Udarosechem. Rabba says that you have to know that you're in a sukkah. If you don't realize that you are in a sukkah, so then it's not a kosher sukkah. And by definition, people only feel like they are enclosed in something that is less than 20 amos. So that's Rabba's reason. The second reason, the Gemara, is Reb Zeira's reason. Reb Zeira's reason is that if the sukkah is higher than 20 amos, so you are not getting shade from the schach, rather the shade that you receive is from the walls. And the walls cannot provide shade, halachically. The schach has to provide the shade, not the walls. Pause for a second. Reb Zeira Shita, that the schach provides shade, not the walls. Is that like Reb Ashiya or not like Reb Ashiya?
Not. Isn't it like the opposite
Shita? The opposite of Rabbi Ashiya, no? It's really interesting, no? That Rabbi Ashiya says that that mechitzos kischach, which means dafka, the mechitzos have to provide shade, no? If the mechitzos are transparent, it's not good. And Reb Zeira is saying that no, if the mechitzos are providing the shade, it is not good, right? So Rabbi Ashiya, again, the simple reading of Judaism is that Rabbi Ashiya is saying the opposite of what Reb Zeira said on Beis Amud Aleph. So far, we have two reasons why a sukkah has to be under 20 according to the Tanakhama. And Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda who disagrees, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda is Rabbi Yehuda Bereb Eloi, you know? The Tana Rabbi Yehuda who disagrees says that according to Rabba, you don't have to know that you're in the sukkah. According to Reb Zeira, he says, no, the shade can come from the walls. But the third shita is the shita that we're working with, and that's the shita of Rava. Right? The third sheet on Beis Amud Aleph, that a sukkah under 20 is kosher, a sukkah over 20 is pasul, according to the Tanna Kamma, comes from Rava. That Rava says for 7 days you have to be basukos teshu shivas yamim, that for 7 days you leave your permanent home and you go to a diras arai. A sukkah over 20 amos is considered a diras keva, not a diras arai. Right? Meaning, the reason why a sukkah over 20 is possible, according to Rava, is because a sukkah can't be diras keva. And therefore, the Tanna Reb Yehuda, who disagrees, is saying that a sukkah can be a diras keva. No? That's Beis Amud Aleph. So far, so good? But here's the problem. Who's the author of our Gemara and Zayin Amud Beis? Now, who's the one who said that all of these 8 shitos hold diras keva?
Abaye.
Why is that a problem, Sima? Go back to Beis Amud Aleph and look. Look at Rava's shita, right? Rava said that a sukkah can't be diras keva. Presumably, according to Rabbi, the Tanna Rabbi Yehuda, a sukkah can be diras keva. Right? But what happens? 7 lines to the bottom. Amar lei Abaye, Ela me'at, Ela me'chisa shal baraz of sika chagab and hachanam d'lo have a sukkah.
Oh.
Right? In other words, Abaye asks a question on his friend, frenemy, whatever it is, Rava. And Abaye says, my darling Rava, right, you're telling me that a sukkah cannot be keva, and that's why sukkah over 20 is pasul. Would that mean that if I build metal walls for the sukkah, that would also invalidate the sukkah? Meaning Abaye is rejecting the reason of keva.
We were talking about that, and we were saying that Abaye is kind of like l'ta'ameh, like I'm gonna talk on your terms and accept your premises, and even with your premises you're gonna trip up.
Yeah, so like,
because doesn't he also challenge Rebbe Zeira? He's just challenging everybody.
He challenges everybody, that's true. But once I have Abaye on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, like he's the challenger to Rava's statement, so how could it be that on Zayin Amud Beis, Abaye says that Rabbi Yehuda mandates Diras Keva? That can't be true. Because that would be true within the Rava world, but Abaye challenged Rava on Daf Beis Amud Aleph. No?
I guess I'm just seeing it as whether I agree with your premises or not, I'm going to quibble. And then once I win the quibble, and doesn't the Gemara then say that the reason why everybody else didn't go according to him was because of the question and challenge of Abaye? So that's, it kind of sounds like he...
Correct. But if anything, what that line in the Gemara, Beis Amud Aleph, go to Beis Amud Beis, that Abaye is really challenging Rava. And if that's the case, how does Abaye say something which is according to Rava, but not according to Abaye himself? Right? And this issue is what Tosfos picks up on in middle of this Tosfos Kohu, no? Now, if you read the Tosfos, I have it 4 lines before the lines get wide on Zayin Amud Beis. V'had chashav hacha Reb Yehuda, lav mishum da sikna le'el, time of the Rabbanan, the pasli, the bo, diras, arai. When we quote Reb Yehuda, it's not because the Rabbanan hold that you need diras arai, taha abaye dahacha hu maksha l'rava de islayahu taima. Right? Abaye asks on Rava. So Tosfos is saying it can't be that when we bring in Rabbi Yehuda as one of the positions who says you need diras keva, it can't be that this is really going based on the Gemara based on Aleph, because Abaye himself challenged Rava on Beis Hamed Aleph. So Tosis is bothered by this kasha. How does Tosis answer the kasha though? Anyone? Right? Tosis says something, Mikol Makom Emes Hu. So Tosis is saying, I think, Tosis is making a construction point, not a halachic point. No? Tosis says, you're right, Abaye does not agree with Rava's halachic requirement that a sukkah has to be arai, and therefore Reb Yehuda would say that halachically a sukkah can be keva. It's not a halachic statement. But it's a practical statement. Practically speaking, you cannot have a sukkah more than 20 amos unless it is keva. Right? That's what Tosis means. Mikol makom emesu. Delamayla mechav lo kaima ela imkein asa'o keva. Right? The Gemara, right? What Tosis is saying is that in reality, it has to be keva because it can't be over 20 and not being keva, which I think means that although Abaye himself rejects Rava's explanation of 20 amos as being based on keva or not, that's a rejection in the halachic sense. But in the reality, in the metzias sort of way, it's impossible that a sukkah over 20 amos should not be keva. Ms. Gutman, you look quite confused.
Yeah, but I think I get it enough, and I don't have a specific question.
Okay, so let's just say it like, sometimes if you say it quicker, it's easier to understand. Basically, Abaye in our Gemara says that Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, says you have to be diras keva. Mm-hmm. Right? Now, when we go back to Beis Hamed Aleph, that is following the position of Rava, that the dispute in the Mishnah about whether a sukkah over 20 is kosher or non-kosher, it relates to whether a sukkah is keva or arai. Right? So far, so good. Well, here's the problem. It can't be that Abaye is saying keva because Abaye on Beis Hamed Aleph rejected Rava. Right? In other words, the only reason this makes sense is if you hold of Rava. But Abaye does not hold of Rava. That's Tosis's question. So Tosis answers, yeah, when our Gemara says that the Tana Rabbi Yehuda holds diras keva, it's not a halachic statement. Right? When we say that according to Rabbi Yehuda, sukkah over 20 amos is keva, it doesn't mean halachically it has to be keva. What it just means is realistically, you can't have a sukkah over 20 amos, which is not keva. Does that resonate more with you now, or the confusion remains?
No, I think I understand. But also, couldn't couldn't you answer Tursor's question by just saying Abaye is quoting other people's opinions?
Okay. So that's what Tanya was suggesting before, that maybe Tanya's language, that Abaye is just a quibbler, and Abaye...
Right, but that's on Beis Amin Aleph, he's quibbling. But here, maybe now he's just listing people's opinions about Pira Keva, but he sees
it. He's listing people's opinions within a context that would mandate Diras Keva, which is a context that he
does. Okay.
Right? But the other Rishonim say something more along the lines of what Tanya was suggesting, which is that Abaye and Beis Amin Aleph is quibbling, but ultimately Abaye agreed to Rava. Right? Remember, Abaye asks Akasha, would that mean that if you make steel walls for your sukkah, that should be puzzle? So Rava says, no, less than 20 amos, theoretically, you don't need steel walls. Over 20 amos, it has to be the equivalent of steel walls, right? Once that answer was given, so then Abaye was masking to Rava. But that's really what the Ritva, what the other Rishonim say, that ultimately Abaye agrees with Rava. So far we have the Tana, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, of 4 amos by 4 amos. We have Rabbi Yashia. Now we have the Tana, Rabbi Yehuda, who says it has to be... we have the Tanya Rabbi Yehuda who says a sukkah over 20 amos is kosher. Now, there's another problem over here in the Gemara, which is that our Gemara is saying, according to Rabbi Yehuda, sukkah has to be diras keva. If I take Beis Amin Aleph, so Beis Amin Aleph is not saying that a sukkah has to be keva. Beis Amin Aleph is saying that according to Rabbi Yehuda, if a sukkah is over 20, it's still kosher. Meaning it can be keva. But our Gemara is saying that, according to everybody, it has to be keva. So that's already another difficulty within our Gemara. And this issue becomes a whole discussion. What does Rabbi Yehuda hold? Does Rabbi Yehuda hold that a sukkah has to be keva? Or does Rabbi Yehuda say that a sukkah can be keva? Everyone agrees that a sukkah under 20 amos is also kosher. But one can make a case that when Rabbi Yehuda says a sukkah under 20 amos is kosher, it's for a different reason than the Chachamim say a sukkah under 20 amos is kosher. Meaning, one could argue that according to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, sukkah by definition is diras keva. Even if the sukkah is under 20 amos, by definition, it's diras keva. We know that Rabbi Yehuda says a sukkah can be keva because a sukkah over 20 is kosher. But not only can a sukkah be keva, our Gemara and Zion and Mabez is teaching me that a sukkah has to be keva. You cannot have a sukkah under 20 amos. It can't exist. Well, no, I said that backwards. You can have a sukkah under 20 amos, but such a sukkah would be keva, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Sometimes you can look at the same thing, and one person says, oh, that's temporary. The other person says, that's permanent. No? It's the same structure. The halacha of keva versus arai, right, can sometimes be based on our perception. Rabbi Yehuda says, halachically, every sukkah is keva. We're going to see this in a few minutes, when we'll see that according to the Tanna Rabbi Yehuda, you always have to put a mezuzah on the sukkah. A sukkah is keva, by definition. Even if it's less than 20 amos, it's keva. That's the definition of a sukkah. The machlokes between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda is, how do you perceive an ordinary sukkah? Do you perceive it as keva? Do you perceive it as arai? But our Gemara is saying that Rabbi Yehuda holds sukkah must be keva. Hello, Ms. Tanya. How are you?
I'm still a few steps back. And if you want to talk about it after, that's fine. But I'm just remembering that we were answering Menahani Mile. And Rava's answer was Shivas Yamin, that it's, and we had understood that to be a sukkah that lasts for 7 days. So okay. Inherently, he's kind of addressing Rabbanan. So Abaye would be against that. He'd be against his pasuk.
Well, Abaye is asking on Rava. Rava says that sukkah, by definition, has to be arai. Abaye asks, he says, what do you mean sukkah has to be arai? Right? You can make a sukkah out of steel.
I understand that. I can put this on a shelf till later.
But I think what we're getting to is the answer is, yeah, you're making a sukkah out of steel, but according to the Chachamim, that still is arai. Arai means, for the Chachamim, leave your more permanent home and move into your sukkah. Rabbi Yehuda says...
Yeah.
Let me say it like this.
No, I understand that, yeah.
That since the Torah insists that you do it, by definition, that is keva. You're right. It's less permanent than my regular apartment in Washington Heights. But the fact that the Torah says I have to do it, that makes it kavua. There are a few areas in halacha where the fact that the Torah says you have to do this means that by definition it's kavua. You know, the Yerushalmi in Shabbos. The Yerushalmi has a discussion about binyan arai on Shabbos. If I do temporary building on Shabbos, let's say I build Lego, no? On Shabbos. Or I build, I put up an umbrella. That's the famous discussion of some Sefer Seminayan Bays. Right? If I, we don't put up umbrellas on Shabbos, right? Isn't that like known? That like we don't use umbrellas on Shabbos. Why not? Binyan. You're making a canopy. But is it? It's binyan arai. Umbrellas are meant to be opened and closed. It's not meant to last for a long time. So the Yerushalmi in Shabbos addresses this question about what about arai versus keva? If I build something in a temporary way, do I violate the malacha of bona on Shabbos? The Yerushalmi tries to bring a raya that we learn the malacha of bona from the Mishkan. No? The Mishkan, by definition, is temporary. They're moving around from place to place in the Midbar. So it's by definition temporary. Zok the Yerushalmi. No, it's keva. Because since the Ribbono Shalom says you have to do it, that makes a kavua. And that's the pshat in Rabbi Yehuda the Tana. Rabbi Yehuda the Tana says a sukkah by definition has to be keva. Since the Ribbono Shalom says you have to build a sukkah, that makes a kavua. It might be a less temporary abode than my apartment in the Heights. But halachically, Rabbi Yehuda says it's kavua because Hashem said I have to do it. When the Ribbono Shalom says to do something, that has to be up to the highest level. Good? That seems to be what emerges from this Gemara. Again, because our Gemara is saying that according to the Tanna Rabbi Yehuda, not only is a sukkah something that can be kavua, but the fact that we put Rabbi Yehuda together with Rabbi Yashia, together with the Tana Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, seems to say that sukkah has to be kavua. That, I would say, is the pashtus in our Gemara, although Tanya introduced the word quibbling to us this evening, so we will quibble with this explanation as we go on. I once went to an academic conference where someone at the beginning and the first session raised the question whether we have any approach, whether we're just muddling through. And every other session was like discussing that large issue, whether we're muddling through. So, okay, whatever. Baita. Next shita. Rabbi Shimon. Ditanya. Shtayim kelchosen ushlishas. Afilu tefach, Reb Shimon Omer, Shalosh kolchosan, Revias afilu tefach. Right, there's a machlokes, how many walls you need for a sukkah? Tanna Kama says, two and a tchetchek. And Reb Shimon says, you need three and a tchetchek. So Zok the Gemara, this Rabbi Shimon, who says that a sukkah needs three complete walls, is because Rabbi Shimon holds that a sukkah has to be keva. Okay, look at Rashi. What does Rashi say? Rashi dimas or shalosh kel chasan.
Sturdy enough to keep the rain out.
Sturdy enough to keep the rain out. And Rashi is quoting a Gemara in Vav Amid Beis. Right? The Gemara in Vav Amid Beis learns on the Pasuk, Machse umastra mizerim umimatar. It has to be strong enough to keep the rain out. Only apparently three walls are strong enough to keep the rain out. If you have two walls, the rain will get right in there. Of course, we don't understand because rain gets in on the fourth side anyway. So we had like some lumdish discussion. Maybe there's a halachic wall that's constructed in our imaginary halachic way. Whatever, we had that whole conversation. But what's interesting to note is that Rashi is invoking this sheet of Machsa Umastar Mizerem. If you go back on Vav Amid Beis, the Gemara had a number of explanations as to what the Machlekes Reb Shimon and the Chachamim is. Do you learn Basukos, 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 in terms of Yeshem LaMikra, Yeshem LaMasores? Do you hold that the Halacha LaMoshim Misina is adding or subtracting, etc.? For some reason, Rashi is saying that our Gemara on Zayin Amid Beis is only according to the position on Vav Amid Beis of Rav Masna, the position five lines from the bottom of Vav Amid Beis, who says, Machso Master Mizerem, etc. That our entire Gemara is only going according to that Shita. Right? Again, that's just a Ha'ara within Rabbi Shimon according to Rashi. Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel, Ditanya, Ha'osa Sukasa Barosha Agola Barosha Sfina, Rabbi Gamliel Posel, Rabbi Akiva Machshir. If I make a sukkah on top of a boat or on top of a wagon, so according to Rabbi Gamliel, it's not kosher. According to Rabbi Akiva, it is kosher. So Rabbi Gamliel says that a sukkah has to be diras keva, and therefore a sukkah can't be on top of a boat or a wagon. Now Taisvis says that you have to delete the word wagon from our Gemara. Our Gemara is only talking about a sukkah on top of a boat, not a sukkah on top of a wagon. No? You see the Tosis Ha'osa? Right, so Tosis writes that in the second perek, we have the Girsa Barosha Agala. Abahacha, it's a Braisa. Over here, we're not quoting the Mishnah, it's a Braisa. And therefore, we do not have the Girsa of Rosh Ha'agala. You see, a sukkah on top of a boat, the sukkah could be by definition temporary because the wind on the sea will knock the sukkah down. But a sukkah on a wagon, there is no reason, says Tosis, why such a sukkah by definition is temporary. So then Tosis says, well, maybe the sukkah is by definition temporary because we're not talking about a sukkah on a wagon and the wagon is parked in the parking lot. We're talking about a sukkah on a wagon and the wagon is moving. And therefore, since the wagon is moving, the sukkah cannot withstand the wind. The sukkah on the moving wagon can't withstand the wind outside, right? Physics majors. No, when you move quicker, so the wind is more likely to knock you over. Does this make sense? I'm assuming it makes sense. Right? It makes sense. Good. Weiter. So, Seema?
Oh, sorry. I just wanted to know. So then Tosfot is referring to a boat that's sailing, not a boat that's docked, because then the wind wouldn't
blow it. No. So the boat is obviously sailing. Tosfot suggests that maybe the wagon is a moving wagon, and therefore, by definition, the sukkah is considered temporary because the wind, just like the wind will knock off the sukkah on a moving boat, the wind will knock off the sukkah on the moving wagon.
Okay.
Does Rashi agree with this or disagree with this? But again, I can read the Tosis inside. Tosis basically says, yeah, well, I mean, whatever. But Tosis, three lines from the two lines before the end of Tosis, Tosis says, Yesh mitchos tchi hai gaf. Now we say a sukkah yecholam baruch mitzuyah da aretz ve'ene yecholam baruch mitzuyah shabarosh ha'agola keba denayda. The sukkah can't withstand the wind on the moving wagon because since it's moving, it can't withstand the wind. Right? That's what Tosis suggested. What about Rashi? Does Rashi agree or does Rashi disagree? Rachel?
I guess Rashi agrees in regard to the sukkah on the boat, but disagrees in regard to the sukkah on the wagon.
Okay, good. In which way does he disagree with regard to the sukkah on the wagon?
So he seems to not care whether the wagon is moving or not, because it has to do with the fact that it's on a wagon, it inherently looks temporary.
Right. The way Rashi says it is, when it's on the wagon, it appears like it's temporary, no? Even if the wagon is parked, l'cha'ora, it looks temporary. Not only that, when the wagon is moving, Rashi never said anything about how the wind is going to knock down the sukkah when the wagon is moving, no? Rashi holds, and we saw this in the way Rashi set up the whole sugya, diras keva means it has to appear like it's permanent. A sukkah on a wagon does not appear permanent. There are people who have mobile homes, but a mobile home doesn't have the same appearance as a permanent home to anyone, right? I think that the idea, even when the mobile home is parked, and that's what Rashi writes. It's Mischazi Ke'enarai. Okay, so far we have Nishitos. I think it's five so far, right? Rebbe, Yashia, Rebbe Yehuda, and now we had Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon, and then Rabbi Gamliel. Then the Gemara has Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai says that if you are Rosh of Arubo, Besukah v'shulchan v'soch habayis. According to Beis Shammai, it's pasul. According to Beis Hillel, it's kosher. Let's say I'm sitting in the sukkah. My table is in the house. So Beis Shammai says it's pasul. Our Gemara explains that the reason why, according to Beis Shammai, it's pasul is because it is.
It's not keva.
It's not keva, right? It's not keva in the usage sense. Right, we're not talking about keva in the structural sense, but if your table is at home, so it doesn't have the keva usage. Right, that's what this Gemara is saying. Now, that's beautiful. The only thing is, this is making an assumption within Beit Shammai. Right, when we learned Beit Shammai way back in our youth on Daf Gimel, so the concern was more about Shema Yigarer Achar Shulchano, no?
We had it as Sukkah Katana and Sukkah
Gedola. We had the distinction, Taisus made a distinction between Sukkah Katana and Sukkah Gedola on this point. Our Gemara is not qualifying it at all. All right, very good. Our Gemara is saying that, no, Beis Shammai holds a Sukkah has to be Keva. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Right, that's taking a stand on the Gemara Daf Gimel, right? Or, right, our Tosis is saying, our Gemara is saying that it has to be Keva by definition, and it doesn't qualify whether it's talking about a large sukkah or a small sukkah. That's completely not qualified. Okay. Rabbi Eliezer says that if you make a sukkah kamin sarif, what's a sarif? It's like some sort of circle. No, one second. I make a sukkah kamin sarif. What's a sarif? I think the early settlers built these tsrifim. You know, they were like these tiny little huts of sorts, no? Right? So if I make a sukkah like a tsarif, right, which means, right, Rashi learns that the roof and the walls are all the same thing. You don't have, usually you have walls and then the roof. Right over here, it's like roof and walls together, or I just lean it against the wall. So Rabbi Eliezer says it's pasul because there's no roof. That's not diras keva. Keva, a normal home, has walls and then the roof on top. This is not keva. And the last shita is the shita of the acherim. Acherim throughout Chas, by the way, means Rabbi Meir. We'll talk about that in a moment. But the shita of the acherim is that a sukkah which is made like a shovach is like a pigeon's nest, right? Meaning it's a circular sukkah, is also not keva. People don't build circular homes, right? A yurt is not a normal home. That's what the Gemara assumes. Okay, so we have like these eight shitas who assume that sukkah has to be keva. Now, Tosfos comments interestingly that these eight shitos are not the same, no? In which ways are they different? So Tosfos says, well, the size of the sukkah is very different, right? We have the shita of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, who says it has to be 4 amos by 4 amos, and therefore he assumes keva. And Beit Shammai says a sukkah just has to be big enough to have your table also, and that's keva. So therefore, Tosfos is saying that even though we lump all of them together, they are not really the same. Right? That's what Tosfos is getting at. And Tosfos points out that there are many times in Shas that we say everybody holds this way, but they are all different. For example, the Gemara in Yevamos talks about whether Maimer is Kone Kinyan Gomor. Right? Maimer is as follows. Yibum means that a fellow dies without children, so the wife has to either marry or get chalitza from the dead husband's brother, but it's improper to just have yibum right away. Right? Just like you're not supposed to do kiddushin with bia. It's not sniastic to begin a relationship with sex, so also you shouldn't start off with yibum right away. So therefore you need maimer, which is kedushin derabbanan. But you don't have to marry this woman. You're already bonded to her because the brother died and therefore the Torah made a zikas yavmin. So you don't have to marry her. Min derabbanan, you have to marry her. That kedushin derabbanan is called maimer. Now the Gemara has a whole bunch of people who say maimer is kone King and Gomer. The only thing is that all of those shitos are disagreeing on some of the details. For example, right, let's say there are five brothers and one brother does mimer. So there's a machlokus whether that makes the other brothers ineligible to do yibum. Right? If you hold that mimer is kikanusa, right? So that means that once I do Maimer, so all the other brothers are knocked out. Some of the Shitas say they are, other Shitas say they aren't. So Tosfos is just showing from elsewhere in Shas that the words kulhu sevira lehu mean that they all say something, but they don't say exactly the same thing. Right? That's the idea that Tosfos is developing. Grand. Now, does the Rif agree with Tosfos or disagree with Tosfos?
I think he would disagree because he attacks a few positions, but I feel like he's kind of lumping everyone together. Even though he attacks like specific positions, he's just kind of like against
it. So he lumps it together, but he attacks specific positions. So
yeah.
Nice. Remember, the Rif is a halacha sefer, right? So the Rif wants to paskin all of the issues that come up on Zayin on the base. Right? The size of the sukkah, dalav amos, the height of the sukkah, etc. So the Rif writes that, you know what? We have all of these positions. Generally speaking, in Shas, when you have a list of positions, what we're trying to do is we are setting up this list to tell you that these guys hold X, but no one else holds that way. In other words, that when you have a shita, there's a tradition from the Gaonim, the Ein Halachic Shita, that in Shas, if you say all of them have the same shita, that means that we don't paskin that way. You give a list of positions, so if anything, it makes it weaker. It's a little counterintuitive, no? So the Rif is saying, although ordinarily the halacha would not be ein halacha kishita, ordinarily we would not paskin like any of the positions. Here, if you look at the Rif on Gimel Mibbeis, Bedapei HaRif, it's like seven lines on the bottom in my Rif. Gimel Mibbeis, Bedapei HaRif. The Rif writes, Af agav dekaimalon dechokei agav neshita hi, v'les hilchas hachacham minayhu. Even though we paskin that we don't follow a shita, but there are two of them that we do paskin like. Right? We paskin that if you make a sukkah kimin sarif, so in that case, the Gemara says, right, that's the case of Rabbi Eliezer, that if I have like the sukkah without walls and a roof, but walls and roof are all the same. So there we paskin that it is, that the Mishnah is a yechida, ubraisa ipcha, etc. And in that case, it's not because of diras keva, but it's a separate reason. Right? The machlokes is whether shipuwe ohalim is ka'ohalim. In other words, says the Rif, really we should not follow the shita of Rabbi Eliezer. The position of Rabbi Eliezer should be rejected because Rabbi Eliezer is one of the diras keva guys and we should reject all those positions. But the Gemara later on says that Rabbi Eliezer has his position for a different reason, because the question is whether shipuwe ohalim have the status of ohalim. Do leaning tents have the halachic status as a tent? And the other time that we paskin, like one of these shitos, is that we paskin over here, like Beis Shammai. Like Beis Shammai says that if my table's at home, I'm not yotze. It's not because of the diras keva, but it's because Shema Yimashe Chacha Shulchano. Meaning the Rif is saying that everybody says the same thing. And really, I should not paskin like any of them. However, there's a different reason for Beis Shammai also, of Shemi Mashecha HaShulchano. There's a different reason for Rabbi Eliezer also, of Shipuwe Ohalim. And therefore, according to the Rif, presumably all of the positions in our Gemara are the same. Now, just like one very brief point that some of the Rishonim make, the Ritva makes this, the Ran alludes to this as well. The Rif is coming at it from this Gaonic tradition of Ein Halacha Keshita, that the Halacha never goes according to the whole list of positions. Some of the Rishonim note that sometimes in the Gemara you say so-and-so, 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 kulhu shita achasi. But over here, the Gemara doesn't use the word shita, right? The Gemara uses the words kulhu svirilahu. So it could be that kulhu svirilahu means that it's not really a shita. A shita might be when they are all exactly the same. If they're all exactly the same, you don't pass like any of them. But if it's kulhu svirilahu, that means like what Tosis is saying, that they're all somewhat different. And if they're all somewhat different, it could be that you paskin like them. Right? The Rif is not distinguishing between what the Gemara uses, when the Gemara uses the term Shita, and when the Gemara says Kulhu Svirilahu. That distinction does not exist in the Rif. Tosfos perhaps is somewhat motivated by that distinction, and Tosfos says they're not all exactly the same. They are coming at it. They end up in the same place of keva, but keva means different things for different people. That is the dispute between Tosfos and the Rif. Okay, let's just learn the bottom Tosfos together for a minute. Achirim. Right? So the Gemara tells us at the end of Harios or something that Reb Meir got kicked out of yeshiva. He was considered chutzpahdik. So they didn't want to say anything in Reb Meir's name. Nonetheless, he's Reb Meir. He's really smart. So they have to say stuff in his name. So they decide that they'll quote him, but not by name. So they call it Acherim, right? It's in the yeshiva Shevelt, they won't quote Rav Soloveitchik, or they won't quote Rav Soloveitchik by name. They'll say, Mipi Hashmua. We heard it like this. So that's Lahavdil, or maybe not so Lahavdil. Rabbi Meir is called Acherim. So one of the Shitos in our Gemara is Acherim, who is Rabbi Meir, who says that around Sukkah is going to be puzzle because it has to be a mekeva and round things are only awry. So zot taisus. Acherim amin sukkah asuya kishor b'chaz puzzle. The sukkah diras keva b'inon. Ba'acherim haynu Reb Meir. Now, I heard the amr Reb Meir lakaman shtei sukkahs hayotzim zu lefnim mizu. Hachitzon asukkah hu petura min hamezuzah. Right, the Gemara says that according to Rabbi Meir, if I have two sukkahs, there's an inner sukkah and an outer sukkah. And these are sukkahs hayotzrim, which means that I'm a craftsman and I do my work in the inner sukkah. The outer sukkah is basically the ante room to get into my workstation. So the Gemara says that the inner sukkah is not a kosher sukkah on Yantiv because it's like my home. My workstation is like my home, so therefore I cannot fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah in my workstation. The outer room is a sukkah. But, the Gemara also says, the outer room is a sukkah, and you don't have to have a mezuzah in the outer room. The inner room needs, right? The inner room needs a mezuzah. So Tosfos is saying, one second, now I got to pull my hair out, Zuck Tosfos, no? Because Rabbi Meir says, that sukkah is diras keva. Yet Rabbi Meir says, on Dav Chesam Beis, that the outer sukkah doesn't need a mezuzah. One second, but sukkah is diras keva, you have to have a mezuzah. The Gemara in Yuma tells me that Rabbi Yehuda, who says sukkah is diras keva, requires a mezuzah on his sukkah all the time. You don't need a mezuzah on a temporary home. But a permanent home needs a mezuzah. So Tosfos is bothered by the kasha. Achirim is Reb Meir. Reb Meir says diras keva. If he says diras keva, so you have to have a mezuzah. Yet the Goran Daf Ches says that Rabbi Meir says you don't need a mezuzah. So Zok Tosfos, you're misunderstanding it. When the Gemara and Daf Ches says, according to Rabbi Meir, the outer room is a kasher sukkah, but it does not need a mezuzah, that means it does not need a mezuzah all year long. But on the yontiv of Sukkos, the outer room needs a mezuzah. Right? That's what Tosfos writes. Zok Tosfos, b'sha'ar yemos hashana ka'amar. De'ilu b'chag, since you hold sukkah diras keva, you're chayiv in mezuzah. Right? Tosfos is saying that the Gemara Daf Ches, that says that the outer room is chayiv in mezuzah, right? Excuse me, that the outer room is pater from mezuzah. That's all that's pater from mezuzah all year long. But on the yontiv of Sukkos, the outer room is chayiv from mezuzah. That's what Tosfos says. Good? I sent you to a Rashi on Daf Ches. What did Rashi say? It's one word in Rashi. Rashi says, petura min ha-mezuzah, zakt Rashi. La'olam, right? The outer room is always pater from mezuzah. Always in the sense of both on Sukkos and the rest of the year, it's pater from mezuzah. That would mean that what Rashi is really telling me is that the Tana Rabbi Meir says that a sukkah is diras keva, in that around sukkah has to be diras keva, and around sukkah is puzzle. But even so, Rabbi Meir does not require a mezuzah on his sukkah. The Tana Rabbi Yehuda says that you need a mezuzah on your sukkah because the sukkah is diras keva. But the Tana Rabbi Meir, even though he says diras keva, he does not say you're chayiv and mezuzah. Now here's the funny thing. Rashi is saying something I would have expected from Tosfos. Right? Remember, Tosfos develops this idea that just because everyone says diras keva, they're not all saying the same thing, right? So I would have expected the logical outgrowth of that to be, yeah, Rabbi Meir says diras keva, but that doesn't mean you're chayiv and mezuzah. Right there, right? That's what should emerge in Tosfos. Yeah, for some reason, Tosfos is bothered by this kasha. Rashi says what I would have thought Tosfos would have said. So that's what I have to say about this, Sugya. Okay, I got a smile from Sima. That means that she liked this last point. Any other questions, comments, observations?
I have a question. Okay. Just asking again, if you can, we were discussing Tosfos when he talks about, I forgot which opinion, whose opinion it is, but the wagon and the boat.
Yeah.
So I didn't follow why it was at all significant that like the wagon is windy.
Tosfos is saying that if you have the girsa, Tosfos is not sure if we have the text wagon, if the girsa wagon exists in Agamara, maybe we're only talking about boats, not wagons. Tosfos says if we're talking about a wagon, what we mean is that a wagon is temporary because we're talking about one who is driving on his wagon, and because he's driving fast, the wind will knock the sukkah off of the moving wagon. That's what Tosfos says. The wind will knock the sukkah off of the moving wagon. That's different than Rashi, in that Rashi said, right, that the wagon appears to be temporary no matter what.
Oh, okay. That's what you're saying.
Right? And as Rashi is not saying anything based on the wind, Rashi is saying, yes, it could move, but not that it is moving. Tosfos says it is moving, and Tosfos is saying based on the wind. So it's a difference between Rashi and Tosfos. That's the point that we were trying to make.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Chevra.
Yeah, can you say something about Rabbi Meir and being Achirim? I know that I should know about this, but it was so interesting to me because I think of, isn't he, like Rav Elisha ben Abuvia being called Achir, suddenly doesn't seem so bad if even Rabbi Meir is called Achirim.
Uh-huh. And that's interesting. And what, Rabbi Meir is a Talmud of Elisha ben Avuya also, no?
And maybe I'm mixing this up. Don't we just assume like a Stam Tana is Rabbi Meir?
Is assumed to be Rabbi Meir, right? Stamish is Rabbi Meir. The Gemara says, I'm trying to look for where this Gemara is. The Gemara says that they called Rabbi Meir here. The Gemara basically tells a story. This is Horius Yud Gimel Mid Beis. The Gemara tells a story that a particular mission was said in the days of Reb Shim ben Gamliel. And then the Gemara goes through that Reb Shim ben Gamliel is the Nasi, Reb Meir is a Chacha, Reb Nosson is the Av Bezdin. When Reb Shim ben Gamliel comes in, everyone stands up because he is the Nasi, and everyone stands up. So Reb Meir commented, and the mayor said, you know what, it's not right. How come they are not standing for us when we come in? So That was Rabbi Meir's question. Then Rabbi Nosson also had this question. How come they don't stand up for us? So one day, everyone comes into the Beis Medrash, and right? So they said, oh, you know what? We're going to prove that we deserve to be stood up for. So they try to show a Mishnah in Uktim that Rav Shimon Gamliel doesn't know. And it turned out that all night, Rav Shimon Gamliel is being taught Meseches Uktim. So when they ask him the question the next day from Uktim, he actually knows the answer. So when Rav Shimon Gamliel comes into the Beis Medrash and they ask him from Uktim, knows the answer. So he says, you know what? You guys are trying to slug me up. You're trying to knock me out. Therefore, you have to get out of yeshiva. They kick Reb Meir and Reb Nosson out. And therefore, they call Reb Meir Acherim, Asikul Reb Meir Acherim, and they call Reb Nosson Yesh Omrim. That's the Gemara, that they gave Reb Meir the name Acherim, and they gave Reb Nosson the name Yesh Omrim. Again, because they were upset that they're not standing up for them, they try to shlug up Rav Shimon Gamliel about knowing Uktim, etc. So that, again, that's what Tosfos is based on. It's based on this Gemara and Hori Yistaf Yud Gimel Mabeis.
Thank you. So fascinating.
Yeah, I like these stories. Okay, Chasra. Should have a good night, and we'll continue learning Torah Bezos Hashem. Okay, all the best. Kotov.
Thank you.